Okay, so I'm here with Ed Lockman, who is the director of photography for Life During Wartime. Ed, how are you doing?
Good. Hi.
I wanted to ask you about the use of the RED digital system for this versus what you've done in terms of film. You alluded during the press conference to having some struggle trying to get the color right and presumably a lot of color correction in post. I'm curious to what degree you relied on pre-existing locations and whether planning has completely shifted thanks to the RED digital system and whether you have any regrets about this possible inevitability of where film is heading.
Well, I think there's a place for the digital world and a place for film, you know, and also the merge between film and the digital world. It's just, you know, my eye and feeling is towards film because that's what I grew up with. It's not to negate that certain stories can't be told digitally, but I think it's an erroneous argument to worry about that the digital world should be film. Because the color space is different and the exposure latitude is greatly lessened. Now, with a lot of time and money, you can get the digital world closer to film, but for me, it's still not there yet. And, you know, and the question they always bring up is that it's a cost factor because it's like $1,000 a roll for processing of 35. But I've seen the trend back towards film. Even if you shoot in Super 16 or 3-perf 35 or 2-perf 35 and then go through a digital intermediate, to me that's like the best of both worlds, where the original originating on film because of the exposure and the color latitude of the film, and also because in the digital world, at least with the RED, you're not actually seeing what you're getting on the set. Yeah. And a cameraman has to rely on what his eye, and when we use film, our light meter, our lenses, and with the RED, you know, you have to estimate what it's going to look like because you're not actually seeing it what they say 4K, but it's actually 3.2K, that the output, because monitors aren't at 4K or 3K.
Yeah. I'm curious, where do you think digital filmmaking needs to go to in order to be acceptable for you? Is it a matter of anticipating how you second guess how it's going to look once you factor in potential color correction and potential fixing in post and the like? How does the eye adjust with such developments?
Well, once the digital world can equate the exposure latitude of film, which, you know, I would say is close to 10 or 12 stops, and for me in the digital world it's about half of that, and then also you know, there's something to say about why an image looks the way it does being analog versus digital. And there's a random access to the analog image on film in which, you know, actually it's like an etching. The film is being created by light because of the actually, not to get too technical, but the silver in the film is being etched away by the film. And then you're projecting with light through a piece of film when you see a film. Or and digital, you know, you're on one plane. So your shadows and your highlights are on this one plane. And it has a different feeling. And I'm saying there are certain stories that I think can be told very well digitally. And I think I used the digital world as best I could in Life During Wartime, and I'm happy with the results. But I had to do a lot of post work to bring out things that I wanted to feel and see in the digital format that in film I would have had.
I'm curious, what was the worst case scenario in terms of color correction? Did you have a situation in which you lit the heck out of a scene and you got it absolutely how your eye wanted it, that it didn't turn out that way when you looked at it?
It's not so much in lit situations, because I can control that.
Yeah.
It's more in unlit situations when you're outdoors and you have this strong contrast of over 10 or 12 stops between shadow detail and highlights. And there's a scene, let's say, when it pans around, it's a fantasy sequence, when you pan around the lake and you see the boy standing there and you cut back and forth. I had to do that in a number of different passes to bring out the shadow detail, to bring out the highlight, to bring out, and then I did it for the color space. And that's not something I would have had to done in film.
How many passes did you do for that shot? I'm curious.
Well, each take I probably did about 6 passes.
Did you have to record a certain amount of information per pass and just mix it all together?
Well, you do a mat, actually. Okay. So you mat out, let's say you go for the shadow detail, mat out the other part. Then I went for the highlights. So I just do different pass and then they can put it together. But that's very time, you know, consuming.
Well, I'm curious for a practical situation, like, for example, the nighttime parking lot scene. There you have a situation in which you have very little light, and you have to get this image of a woman walking in her nightgown across a parking lot. And so with a situation like that, was that pretty much all color correction? I mean, what did you do in terms of lighting the scene to ensure that there was some kind of information there to work with?
Well, I'm glad you thought there wasn't much light, and there wasn't a lot, but I had a light on a crane, a 12K on a crane, or 18K, and then a bounce. So I lit it the way I would have done in film. Another aspect of the digital world that no one tells you about is, film right now, you can shoot at ASA 500, push it a stop 1,000, and get incredible results. The digital format, it's about 200.
Yeah.
To get, you know, an image that's acceptable, that isn't noisy and you have problems later with. So you're losing a stop and a half to almost 2 stops. So then you're in a position that you have to use more light. So then why are you gaining something, you know, by shooting in the digital world over film? Now, the digital world or the digital format loves low light. And I think shooting night scenes digitally is wonderful because you have a lower contrast ratio. But in high contrast situations where there's a lot of light, the digital world, you get artifacts, you get highlights burning out. You don't get as much information as you do with film.
What's the ideal lighting for a digital situation? Presumably, how would Kino flows work in relation to film versus digital?
You have to keep it within a certain range, let's say a 3-to-1 ratio, where in film you might go to a 6-to-1 ratio. So you just have to be a lot more careful. It's almost, for me, it's like shooting with reversal film. Positive film, what we used to shoot. Now we shoot primarily negative film. We do shoot negative film. But when we used to shoot with positive film, let's say in documentaries and whatever, you had to be much more careful about the exposure latitude you shot with.
Since you're dealing with such a limited spectrum, how have you adjusted getting, say, a spot meter reading or a light meter reading?
I just read it. Even though it's a digital world and people laugh at me, I use my spot meter once. I evaluated what the ASA of the digital medium is, and I like to rate it around 200. I then just balance it with my spot meter the way I do with film.
Have you managed to perfect it so that you can pretty much get an ASA 200 reading that more or less reflects the final results without artifacts? Or are you still having problems with...
Yeah, no. If I rate it at 200 and then do an exposure latitude of a stop and a half on the highlights to the shadow detail, that's what you're looking at in the film. When you see just the detail in Michael Kenner Williams' face... who's African-American, and it's so wonderful that you just read the detail. That's because I made sure about what my ratio was between the highlight and the shadow. You know, I think part of the mystique of the whole digital world is, you know, the idea that for directors it's a liberating thing that they see an image they can shoot. But it's a lot more than seeing an image that you have. It's also about balancing the scene, and it's about creating the continuity of the image, so to speak. So it's not enough to say, oh, I have an image, we can shoot it. What happens when you go into the close-up? What happens when you start at one part of the day and you have sunlight, and the end of the day you're in shadow or clouds? So it's about balancing to make a scene look like it's a continuation of the same time period, which many times you're not allowed to do.
This leads me to actually ask you about depth of field and focal lengths. Obviously, if you don't have as much of a spectrum, you're going to have limits in terms of how far you can use the Z-axis. And I'm curious how your photography has changed in light of the focus problem.
Well, I don't worry about that. You know, like people say you have more depth of focus digitally than you do with film. That doesn't worry me. You know, you know, if I use a longer lens, if I want to knock the background out, you know.
Yeah, yeah, got it. Well, thanks very much.
Sure.
All right.